Oh, gracious Father, we come before your throne of grace with thanksgiving in our hearts. Father, I ask that you speak a word this morning to your people. Father, you give to them what you would have them to have. My Heavenly Father, you are so worthy. You're so worthy to be praised, and we just lift you up. Father, we love you, Father, and we just trust you every step of the way. Father, speak to your people. Your will, Lord. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. I looked at this passage here in 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. A few things came to mind. But the one thing that really stood out was Christ and the cross. Christ and the cross. And then I thought about Christ suffered. It's my first thought. And my second thought was Christ's example. And my third thought was Christ bore our sins. When I sit here and I thought about how the Lord allowed Jesus, his only begotten Son, he allowed Jesus to come among us. But he didn't allow him to come among us any old kind of way. He allowed him to come among us as one of us. Some of us thought that he was going to come in royalty and purple linen and gold and diamonds and all the fine things. But God allowed Jesus to come among us as one of us. Now you say why that is important. It's important because if you don't understand that, then you will not understand the suffering of Christ. To understand that Christ suffered is to be human. To understand what he went through, you have to know what it feels like. So when you think about Christ on the cross, I want you to think about that for a moment. And think about how he allowed man, the creator allowed the creation to put him on a cross. That's important to know. It's important to know because when he allowed that to happen, that meant he freely did this. He freely went to the cross because he had a purpose in mind. He went to the cross, and he suffered on that cross. Yes. Now, you may want to ask, how did he suffer? When I think about how they stretched him high and they dropped him low, when I think about how they pierced him in his side, and I think about how they placed the throne and crown up on his head, and they didn't just place it there, but they pressed it in, and the blood came streaming down. And then when I think about how they took his hands and they nailed his hands to the cross, and then I think about how they took his feet and they nailed his feet on top of one another to the cross. So can you see the suffering that would have been done? The spikes going in his hands, the spikes going in his feet, the spear piercing his side. But he did that not for himself. He did it for us. He did it because he loved us. And his father prepared a body for him. And his father told him to come down and to do one thing. And that was to redeem man back to the father. See, we were lost with no hope, no direction, and no understanding. But Jesus paid the price on the cross because he suffered for you and for me. When I think about how much he suffered, it brings tears and chills to my spine because I know that I could not have endured such a thing. I know that I could not have stayed there on that cross. I know I would have been crying out saying, Father, I don't want to do this. Because here was a man who had no sins. He had no sins and he had no faults. But we were full of sin. We had so many faults. But Jesus paid that price. And then when I think about how, when I looked at Christ's example, if you go over to John 15 and 9, he said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue in his love. See, that had to be, that had to be a love like no other love. Amen. To be able to go to a cross for something that you didn't even do. When I think about that, how many of us would stand up and say, oh, here I am, take me? Especially when you know what the end result is going to be. See, the result and the end result was that he was going to hang on that cross. The end result was that he was going to die on that cross. But the thing that I like about it, when they took him down off that cross and they put him in a borrowed tomb, Lord have mercy, it brings to mind that the Father said, I don't even have a place to lay my head. Can you imagine being buried in somebody else's tomb? But God is a good God. Because see, borrowed is just that. What does the word borrowed mean? See, borrow means I'm just going to use it for a little while. I'm just going to be here for a little while. Because in my word, I said, in 3 days, I'm going to rebuild this temple. So he borrowed that tomb for a little while. And he stayed there for a little while. But early, it tells me, one Sunday morning, that he got up. He got up out of that borrowed tomb with all power in his hand. See, he only needed that for a little while because he wasn't going to stay that long. He got up. What motivated him to get up? His love that he had for you and me. That love motivated him to get up out of that borrowed tomb. Because, see, his mission was not finished. His mission had only just begun. And see, that's what I like about the cross. Because everybody thought that they had him. Can you imagine them walking around and them laughing and boasting and, oh, we got him now. Oh, we got him. But what they didn't know was the grave couldn't hold him. What they didn't know, that death had no charge over my God. What they didn't know was he lived today, yesterday, and forevermore. What they didn't know is that he is the eternal God and the everlasting God. See, once you know who God is, once you understand his walk and his purpose, you have something to shout about. You have something to rejoice about. Now, it tells me here in my next thought that he bore our sins. Somewhere I read that we were like filthy rags, it tells me, in his sight. We could not even stand in the presence of God because we were so full of sin. We were so full of sin that we couldn't redeem ourselves. Why couldn't we redeem ourselves? Because the sacrifices that we were making were not good enough. The burnt offerings were not good enough. So see, what God did, he made the ultimate sacrifice. He made a sacrifice that was good for you and for me. It was a sacrifice that was acceptable to the Father. The sacrifice that Jesus made was acceptable for us. It reminds me of the story of Cain and Abel. It tells me in my Bible that one had an acceptable offering and one had an unacceptable offering. One offering, it tells me, was rejected by God. And one offering was received by God. So I stand here to tell you that those burnt offerings that we were sending up, God say they stink to his nostrils. He didn't want to accept them anymore. So what he did, he gave us a sacrifice that was pleasing to him. Now, who would take on the challenge, wrap themselves up in human form? Hey, I'm God. I don't need this, and I don't need to come down here. But God did just that because he loved us so much that he took the time to wrap himself up in human form. I heard somebody say, thank you, Lord. I know that's right. Because if he had not done that, we would still be lost. We would not have a chance for eternal life. But see, the God that we serve loved us so much that he did just that. And when he wrapped himself up in human form and walked among us, he bore our sins. But then something else began to happen. In John 13 and 15, it says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. He said, he is the example. Now, Jesus is off the cross. Jesus has risen. Jesus is back with his Father. And he's left an example for us. Now you ask, what is that example? That example is how we live our lives. How we walk before God. See, after the salvation and you have accepted Christ, there's something else that needs to happen. See, now we begin as Jesus did because we thought his mission was over, but it's not. Now he's working through the Holy Spirit through us. Now, what is our mission? Our mission is to carry on the work of Christ. That is to do as Christ did. Christ didn't take a sideline. What he did was he got involved. Christ didn't see us suffering and did nothing. What he did was he got involved. What we have to do as believers in Christ, we now have to get involved. We can't sit on the sidelines anymore. We got to get involved and help one another. Now you say, how do we help one another? Sometimes all it takes is a prayer. Sometimes all it takes is a kind word. Sometimes all it takes is a hug. God uses us to carry his mission on. What are we doing today that we can give God the glory out of our lives? Are we taking the time to look among ourselves and see our brothers and sisters and see a need and try to fulfill it? You know, sometimes even when you try to do the right thing, people will take it the wrong way. But I stop by to tell you this. You do what God has told you to do that is right, and God will take care of the rest. We have to walk like Jesus did. Jesus did some things, and he left it on record. He raised the dead. I haven't raised anybody from the dead, but I sure can tell somebody that God loves you. He made the blind to see. I haven't made a blind man see. But I sure can tell them what the word of God says. See, when we do what God told us to do, that is all that's required. We don't have to go out here trying to perform miracles or try to act like we're God. We're not God. God is God, and can't nobody do what God can do. But what we can be is ambassadors for God. What we can do is take his word out and share it with somebody. What we can do is tell a dying world that God yet lives. See, that's what we can do. There is plenty of work for us to do, but we will pass by somebody and look the other way. We won't even tell them that I love you. They won't even tell you that God loves you. Sometimes that's all we need to hear. Sometimes you may be so low in spirit. Sometimes you thirst and you hunger, but just somebody to say, have you heard a word from the Lord today? I got a word for you. Jesus loves you, and so do I. God is good. God is good. God is good. What I want you to think about, and I want you to keep this in the forefront of your mind. Sometimes we look at the cross and we don't understand. But when you keep that cross in the forefront of your mind, see, Satan don't want you to know this, but I'm going to tell you. When you keep that cross in the forefront of your mind, the image of Jesus on that cross suffering, when you're about to mess up, you won't do it. You won't do it because what the Holy Spirit will tell you is that Jesus died once already, and he's not going to die again. So what we need to do is keep our eyes on that cross and remember what that cross represents. That cross represents salvation. That cross represents freedom. That cross represents a new life. The cross that Jesus bore, he bore it for you and for me. But the cross had a purpose. The cross had a purpose. Amen.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Porville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."